Get ready. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jason, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. Unfortunately, there is no guest. Well, fortunately, maybe. The guest is going to be me. It is episode 203 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is October 13th. This week, I actually wanted to try something different, something I've done before, but something I haven't done for this month. And that's just kind of talk, right? Talk to me, talk to you about how I felt reflecting over the past three episodes. If you haven't been listening, if this is your first time joining in, we did our special episodes for Latine or Latinx or Hispanic Heritage Month, starting with Lonzo Gonzo. Our second guest was Glenn Angel, and our third guest was Peter or Flatus from Maelstrom Radio. And we had a pretty candid conversation and also a kind of celebration of being Latine, Latinx, Latino, Latina creators in this space, in the gaming space, in the gaming community. And so what I wanted to do for this episode is kind of reflect on those episodes and see where I am personally within the space. And to really kick things off, you have to start, of course, with episode one with Lonzo Gonzo. We had a great conversation, not only about creating in the space, but also what it really means to us to be in this space and how much fun we're having kind of figuring out our place in it. One of the first things that kind of struck me about our conversation was the idea that his first one of his first D&D TTRPG campaigns didn't really feel fun. That's something that I don't quite resonate with in so far as my first D&D campaign is actually a whole lot of fun. But one thing I recognized in that conversation is that he expressed that the reason why it wasn't fun was because of people not understanding the name of his character or the culture of his character, or something to that effect. And that, I think, hits home for a lot of folks, right? Growing up in America, especially, you have folks who get your name wrong all the time or who kind of don't understand your culture, right? If you're like me, your mom once sent you to school with your lunchbox of cold leftovers, and people looked at your leftovers and thought, like, what is that? What is that food? That looks disgusting. It smells gross, something like that. And it really made you feel like you don't belong in that space, right? In that area. So to hear that about a D&D campaign where you essentially have a bunch of people from various backgrounds, fictional as they are, coming together to try and save something or steal something, whatever the case may be, it feels weird to have to go through that both in a space that is typically diverse just based off of the fictional characters that are being played, and also have to go through that in life at the same time. So that really stuck out to me. And I think it's really important the way that he went about it the next few times, right? The next few times in his D&D campaigns, he came to the table with characters that were representative of his culture in some way, in a way that made him feel like he was more comfortable approaching the differences of his character and the other characters, and maybe even himself to an extent. In a way that made him feel like he was more comfortable doing that. And I really appreciate that, and I think it's something I want to do for my D&D characters going forward. A lot of my D&D characters are in some way black-coded, But I don't really know if I know how to code my characters in a way that also shows, you know, my specific type of blackness or my specific type of Hispanic or Spanishness in it, right? I am Puerto Rican and I am Jamaican. I don't really know how to show those in a D&D campaign or as a D&D character in a way that feels right to me yet. And I think that's something I'd like to explore using Lonzo Gonzo's characters as an example. One other thing we spoke about that I still think about today is the inclusiveness of Afro-Latino, Afro-Latina, Afro-Latinx folks in these spaces. As one myself, I still feel, despite having that conversation with him just the other day, I am still feeling some type of way about trying to include myself in those spaces. First of all, I think I am often, if not maybe always, am the only Afro-Latino, at least outwardly, that I can tell, right? In any kind of group where I have been around Latinx folks, I feel like I'm the only one that, you know, can't speak Spanish, or can't keep up with the conversation, or, you know, my experiences are so different, because I am Afro-Latino, that it's hard to relate in a way that feels like I'm getting something out of it more than I'm giving. And I don't know how to bridge that gap yet. And I was thinking about it on the way home today. There were a lot of times growing up where I would make it very clear that, you know, my mom is Puerto Rican. We grew up very typically Puerto Rican, I would say. A lot of the practices that we had in our household, she carried over from her grandfather who came here from straight from the island and so on and so forth. And I've always felt that despite knowing and being able to articulate those points and show that I practice a certain way of life and I can, you know, show that I understand where other Latinx folks are coming from, I was never quite, not accepted, but believed, maybe, right? It felt like I was putting on a mask and trying to behave a certain type of way, kind of like puppetry, and it wasn't believable. They would nod their head and say, okay, yeah, sure, but I wasn't getting anywhere with that. And I still kind of feel that way to this day, where I'm not sure how best to interact with folks in a way that feels like I am truly a part of that community. And it may be that I just, you know, do nothing, right? Whatever the case may be, I haven't gotten there yet, I think. And I don't know how I get there. I guess I just have to stick it out and try to find my way. I think the other thing I think about is how it all reflects in gaming as well, right? There was a Twitch celebration of Latinx Hispanic Heritage Month, and there were a lot of Afro-Latino folks, at Latinx folks, who were being represented through that Twitch promotion, and I was so happy to see that, because they, not only did they look like me, but I'm certain one of them said, like, I don't speak much Spanish, but I still participate in this community and I'm part of this community. And I want that for me. I want that kind of, again, I don't know how I get there. Maybe I'm already there and I just don't realize it, but I want to feel that same kind of confidence in my identity that other people feel in their Hispanicness and their Latinxness, whatever the case may be. I don't think I'm there yet, and I don't know how I get there, like I said. But I hope to meet more folks like Lonzo Gonzo and Glenn Angel and everyone else to the point where maybe I can start feeling that comfort once again. And I've said this on Black History Month episodes before. I've heard it from other Black folks who were on this show sometimes we don't feel like we fit in our own blackness, right? The way that we show our blackness does not necessarily coincide with the way others do. And we came to the conclusion that that's fine, right? We will find our people. I think I'm still trying to find my people when it comes to my Hispanic, Spanish, Latinx representation, or the way that I come to that space. It's going to take some time, and I'm just very grateful for folks like Lonzo Gonzo, Night Lycan, who is very always like supportive of all Latinx folks, and last year on this episode said that, you know, we should try and make space for Afro-Latino folks, Latinx folks. I really appreciate that, and I think about it all the time. I'm just really grateful for people like that who have helped me to kind of come out of my own shell, so to speak, when it comes to my culture, what is essentially my culture, and help me share it a little bit more. Our second guest was Glenn Onhill. Glenn is a non-binary, or uses they, them pronouns. And I think there was something really interesting Glenn touched on when it came to that piece of their identity, right? It's one thing to find Latinx folks and try to get in with that community. It's another thing to find queer Latinx folks and try to get in with that community, and try to see what that means to you and what it means to be part of that community. And I think that there was something kind of eye-opening for me, right? Because Glenn said that there was a point in time where you think about your representation, right? You are a masculine presenting person, and you think about what it means to be masculine and also Latinx or Latino or whatever, and you think about the people that emulate that, and you don't necessarily want to be that kind of person all the time, right? Sometimes we are taught as men to be tough and rugged and this, that, and the other, and sometimes you don't exactly want to be that. You don't mesh with that. And so to find representations of that outside of your immediate community and in the gaming community instead, I think is really a testament, first of all, to how far we've come as gamers, and how we are able to make these communities for ourselves within gaming that represent all facets of whatever community it is, right? The queer community, the Latinx community, the Black community. We are able to find and kind of make that room in gaming and online spaces so that other folks can find us and we can kind of learn off of one another what it means to be XYZ thing for ourselves, right? Not trying to emulate others, rather, but to figure out where we fit, right? Where our puzzle piece fits in a larger puzzle picture. So I really appreciated Glenn's insight on that, because it made me feel as though while I don't think of myself as non-binary, I do recognize that I do not like the more rugged and masculine aspects all the time about what we expect from Black or Latino folks all the time. It does not necessarily mesh with who I am. It does not necessarily mesh with who I want to be. I recognize that there is some strength in being that type of person, and that it has worked out over the years for many other people. But I don't think that means that it is the right way to express one's culture, one's heritage. It's not the way I want to express it either. And so, once again, to Glenn's point during our second episode of the month, there is something really special about being able to find those people and to explore that safely, especially Glenn had a really nice VTuber model, whose name I've forgotten. I'm sorry, Glenn. but had a really, really nice VTuber model that allowed them to express a more feminine side of themselves, and do that through a very pretty long-haired looking woman. And it's beautiful that we are able to do things like that and to explore things like that with streaming, especially, right? We get to kind of show the world a different side of ourselves through streaming, and through streaming with VTubers and avatars. And it's really, I think it's really special to me to have had the opportunity to really talk to Glenn about that. So thank you, Glenn, if you're listening. Thank you. And so our last guest, Peter or Flatus from Maelstrom Radio. There was something really interesting about talking to Flatus, simply because I think our conversation really embodies what I've been feeling for many, many years, right? So I was born in America. My grandfather was born in Puerto Rico. My mom was born here. But somewhere in between my grandfather and me is the kind of values of manliness and hard work and, you know, this, that, and the other that comes from that island, Puerto Rico, right? A lot of those things travel over from that island to America, and then we kind of instill American values in with our Puerto Rican values and so on. And talking to Flatus about his family coming from Cuba, right? Being able to see the Cuban Islands from Florida, and knowing the history of their family, you know, regardless of what your specific political views are, they lived there. They knew exactly what they were experiencing, and they felt a certain type of way about it and left Cuba to come to Florida and live as Americans instead. And whether or not that's a good or a bad thing, you know, in your view, they at the time said, this is what I have to do for my family. And that has instilled something in Flatus, right? He still works for his family. He does what he has to do for his family. And that's an important value, I think, that has imprinted upon him from his grandparents and his father. The same, I think, can be said for a lot of us, right? We are imprinted upon by our cultures, the way that we have lived those cultures. We often like to make the joke that black and brown people do not enjoy being around spooky things, spirits, ghosts, and all that, right? Because we, quote unquote, know better. But the reality is that there's also a part of each of those, our cultures, I think, that deals with the dead and the unknown and spirits and passing away and all of that stuff. So we are constantly being imprinted on, I think, by our heritage, by our culture, by our ancestors, regardless of if we know it or not. And I think having that conversation with Flatus made me think about, you know, all the things my mom has told me to, you know, all the things that my mom has done in the house that I do now in my own way, as I try to build my relationships and my family and stuff like that, right? I played loud music when I clean. every Christmas and Easter, despite not being incredibly religious, I make pernil every time. Without fail, that is my go-to Christmas and Easter dish. It is just something we do. Using certain products to clean, right? Like Fabuloso. If you know what Fabuloso is, it's little things like that, right? Little tiny things, minute little things like that, that I think really kind of help us to experience not only whatever it is we're going through in the moment, but each other, right? We kind of share these common values, and common little idiosyncrasies. And like I said, they're little imprints, right? They're tiny little imprints. Our grandfather did it. Our father did it. Our mother did it. Our grandmother did it. And we continue on doing those things. One thing I also appreciate about Flatus is the way that he is so into video games. I do think that it is so important to keep an open mind about video games, I suppose. He had a lot to say about MMOs and the experience he has playing them. And it all started, you know, his first podcast foray, I believe he said, was with WildStar. And then it was with Final Fantasy XIV. And he's met so many people playing these games and reporting on the news that comes out of these games. And there is something, once again, so interesting and so kind of magical about being able to meet people through video games, through online spaces, stay friends with them, and learn from one another and experience one another and share that culture. I think he said it, and I agreed with him. It's been a long time coming, I think, for both of us to find more Latinx, Latino, Latina people in video games. Despite knowing a few here and there, I think we have struggled over the years, he and I, to really find more people who relate to our experiences, who have similar or slightly similar cultures, right? And it's not always easy, right? It's not always easy to, first of all, you don't always know who's behind the screen. One thing I relayed to him, and that was said in Black History Month episodes, is, you know, sometimes we put on the mask, we put on a white avatar so that we are not bothered or thought of as the other in video games. But I think now more and more folks are really embracing themselves when they can, because not all MMOs are made the same, but embracing themselves in the video game, you know, picking the hairstyle that suits them, picking the skin color that suits them. And of course, there's fashion, picking the fashion that suits them, so that they can really express themselves as fully as possible. It's difficult to say that is a norm, but it is happening. And I think that Flatus was right when he said that, you know, he's been able to meet more Latinx folks, and he just hopes that people keep somehow finding him and he somehow finds them. And I hope the same for myself and everyone else. I think we have so much more to learn about each other, and I really think that we can really find the inroads and the ways to communicate better through video games sometimes and often. I owe so much to a lot of folks who have been on this show over the past 6 or 7 years. Actually, I believe we're near an anniversary, so happy 6-year anniversary. I just feel so much for folks like Lonzo Gonzo, like Glenn Onhill, like Flatus, who are able to come onto the show and really speak from the heart and speak about themselves and their experiences, because it helps me. It helps me learn. It helps me get closer to them. It helps me get closer to others. So anyways, this is going to be a really short episode. I'm already wrapping up. The point I'm trying to make is I really do appreciate everyone dropping in over the past few weeks. I really do appreciate Lonzo Gonzo for being so candid, Glenn Onhill for being so candid, and Flatus for being so candid. It is hard to talk about these things, even if we are trying to kind of celebrate ourselves and have a little fun. And I just cannot be more excited for whatever next year is going to be like. I'm really looking forward to it. And that's really all I've got for this week. As always, you can find me at Comedy Days Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Instagram page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. Remember that you can support your favorite charities and support this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian at DocHouse. Corgian on Twitter, DoghouseCorgian, DocHouseCorgian on Twitter. And our intro music is done by Ricky. Find Ricky on Twitter at @dog_noise. That's all for this super short episode of the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.